We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program one more time. And my name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. If you do not have a church home, you need a church home. If you are in the central Brevard County area and would like to come by and worship with us, we would love to have you come by and worship King Jesus with us. He is worthy of our praise no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what you feel like, what I feel like, no matter whether it's been a good week, a bad week, it doesn't matter. Jesus is worthy of praise because he is holy. I think we make a mistake when we determine whether or not we're going to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on whether or not we feel like it, as opposed to the fact that what he is worthy of, and he is worthy of our best. Worthy of our best on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's worthy of your best all the time, and my best as well. So just a couple of more opportunities. This is my next to the last day to mention this, but Sunday morning, Mother's Day. By the way, if you don't realize it's Mother's Day, you're welcome. Sunday is Mother's Day, and so you make sure that you call her on Mother's Day and wish her a happy Mother's Day, because if it weren't for her, you wouldn't be you. You wouldn't be here. And so don't miss that opportunity. If she likes flowers, send flowers. My mother does not like flowers, so we're not sending her flowers. You want to make sure that you do honor your mother on that day specifically, as well as every other day. But Mother's Day at Merritt Assembly of God is going to be extra special this year. God has laid something on my heart. It is going to be a blessing for the ladies that are there. There could be some tremendous healing, spiritual healing that takes place in God's house on that day. I am so looking forward to it. Listen, when I run an idea by my daughters and by my wife, and they say, you know, that is a phenomenal idea, then that bears witness with my spirit. And so that's what we've got coming up this day, 10:30 Sunday morning. We do not have Sunday night service so that we can spend time with my wife. My mom is a long ways away, and my mother-in-law is a long ways away. So we do make sure that we do some FaceTiming with them and things like that. But also happens to be my birthday, and so I think we're splitting the day in between doing what she wants to do and where I want to go to eat that day too. So anyway, great opportunity. I pray that you will take advantage of it. Going to be a blessing to all the ladies who show up that day. So we are going through the Gospel of Matthew right now. We're in Matthew chapter 4. We're not touching on every verse, but we are touching on things that I believe are very, very important. And begin reading today in verse number 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." So yesterday we were talking about Jesus went about all Galilee and teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I want to take you over to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and in verse number 1 it says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Yesterday we had talked about the saying that some do and some teach and some can't do, therefore they teach. Jesus was a doer and a teacher. And I'm sure that you can think of some people in your life who were both greatly accomplished and yet they were also extremely relatable. They could communicate truth to you. I've had teachers who all they were concerned about was getting through a certain segment of material. And if you got it, you got it. If you didn't get it, you were going to have lots of homework. And I will say this, that there, with all of the modern teaching mechanisms that are available, with all of the YouTube videos and things like that, there really is no longer an excuse for remaining uninformed about things that you really want to know how to do. If you want to know how to fix a car part, listen, I am not a person that has tremendous brand loyalty. I'm more of a person who has, if God brings a vehicle my way, I say, thank you, Jesus. And each one of those vehicles, even though they look the same, they have four tires and all of that sort of stuff, each one of them has a different technique for being able to accomplish certain things. And so many times I will go to YouTube and I will look up a video that says, can you teach me how to do this? And I will give it the old college try. And if I am unable to accomplish it, then I call up my friends that are mechanics and or have automobile shops and take it to them and see if they can repair it. But I remember MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they offer many of their courses online free of charge. The only thing that you don't get is you don't get the college degree, but you get the information. The information is what is so important. And Jesus, he went throughout this region that people thought did not have a lot of spiritual worth. I don't know about you, but that's not the way that we really want to look at humanity, where we look at people and say, you know what, you have great value, but you over here, you have very little value. That's not the way that I look at people. I look at people and realize that they were created in the image of God and that we need to do the best that we can to communicate the gospel with them so that Jesus can be at work in their life and change their eternity. So Jesus was a doer, he was a teacher, but he was also a preacher. He was also a preacher. And I found an article. It's just a little over a year old. It is an article by the name of Martin Lloyd Jones, and it's called Preaching Versus Teaching. Preaching Versus Teaching. And he describes that the different purposes of the words that are preaching or teaching. Now, I will tell you this, the word preaching is in the scripture, or the word teaching is in the scripture a lot more than the word preaching. But preaching is, for the most part, grouped with the concept of pastoring, of being a shepherd, building a relationship with the sheep. And so I'm not trying to raise or elevate one over the other. Evidently, we need both if Jesus did both. Okay. And so this man, Mr. Jones, says that the first difference is that preaching is heralding. The first word that he describes in the Greek for preaching is the word caruso. It denotes the activity of a king's messenger proclaiming news in the city. So when I get up to proclaim the word of God, I'm looking for the word of God for that is for that group of people on that particular day. I'm looking for a thus saith the Lord, not a thus saith Bob. I'm not looking for the most popular sermon that I've been able to find on the internet. I don't go looking for my sermons for the internet. I'm not there to speak on behalf of the internet. I'm there to speak on behalf of God. And the second is the word evangelizomai, which means the speaking or announcing the good news of Christ. And so let me just say this. I am not a big fan of preacher bashing. I just don't like to do it. I'm heartbroken whenever I hear bad things about preachers, but we just came off of a study of sowing and reaping. So I don't want to sow bad seeds that I could possibly reap from somebody else. And so there is a there's a preacher that is very well known. He's written a lot of books, and people say some things about him. Now I've been in some conferences where this guy has spoken, and where he comes off one way on television, he comes off an entirely different manner when you are there with him in person. And I'm more appreciative when about what other people who know them have to say than what they may say about themselves. And they interviewed a staff person that works for this individual one time. I read the article, and it said what they need to understand is they really do preach good news. And that's what the word evangelizomai is. It is the speaking. It speaks of announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is good news. And people need to hear that good news. So we need preachers who are going to be able to stand up with spiritual authority and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And we also need people who are going to be able to get up and announce good news. Now, sometimes the good news is like this. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Well, we have found what is wrong with you." That's not the good news part. The good news is we can make you well. That's the good news. People want to associate the good news of the gospel with I'm okay and you're okay. And the truth of the matter is there have been times I've not been okay. There have been times when things weren't well in people's lives that I know. But the good news was God was bigger than the problem. God's solution was already available, and so it wasn't a terminal condition. There are some people who, because they have they've created such a myopic definition of good news that it can only make me feel good, they have missed the reality that the good news is man is a sinner and is on his way to an eternity without God. It's on his way to hell. But the good news is Jesus came and died on the cross, rose again the third day, has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and is interceding for you, and the Holy Spirit is working tirelessly to bring each of us to that place of repentance. That is great news. The fact that you're in a pit is not good news. The fact that God is able to reach down into the pit and pull you up and set you on solid ground and cause you to be established and prosper, that's good news. And so we have to remember good news is speaking the truth in love. So teaching, the word tends to be didasco, and that means the imparting of knowledge and instruction in wisdom. So when we get into chapter 5 of Matthew here and we start talking about the Beatitudes, and the other applications of life, you're going to see that Jesus is there doing a great deal of teaching. Now, preaching brings with it a moral obligation. It is when the minister, according to this article, it is when the minister is calling the congregation that is listening to the message to faith and duty. It is a sounding of the trumpet. It is a call to action. And many people who attend churches, they are looking for information. They're going there looking for teaching, when many times God has for us a call to action. Okay? And so I just want to let you know, you weren't saved just so that you could occupy a seat on the pew. That's not it. Okay? So because I am looking for people to respond in faith, where Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field, where there would be a thus saith the Lord. As a preacher, I'm looking for unbelievers who will respond in faith and take definitive steps in holiness. There's a call to action. So just about every sermon that I do, there is an opportunity to respond, whether it is by the raising of their hands, to the standing of the feet, whatever it might be, there's, you know what? I don't want to waste another minute. Okay? Oh, so you and I, we need to realize that preaching is speaking for God, where teaching may be just speaking about him. So that was an article from Martin Lloyd. Let me see if I can find his name there one more time. Martin Lloyd Jones. And so it is not an either or, it is a both and. It is a preaching and it is a teaching. And I'm so thankful. I love the opportunity to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my favorite part of the ministry. A construction worker may go to work, and at the end of the day, he can look back and say, you know what? I there's evidence that I accomplished something today. But when you are dealing with people have a free will. If I've had one person in the congregation say this to me through the years, I've heard it a dozen times, and that is, Pastor, when you are communicating, it is what you have heard from God, and you've had time to process it, and sometimes we are still there taking in the information. And so a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message, and I got, as I was praying before the service, God spoke something to my spirit, and I was like, man, that's really exciting. And I was praying. I my Bible was in my office. I was downstairs praying. There were other people who were praying in the conference room, and my phone was already someplace getting ready for a Facebook Live thing. They use my phone on Sundays to broadcast that. We don't broadcast our worship because we don't have the license for that. We do broadcast our message, and so it normally comes on Facebook Live about 11:15 or 11:30 if you're interested in seeing what's going on in our service. And you'll find that I'm an extremely mobile guy, so I get a lot of exercise on Sunday morning because I'm looking for a thus saith the Lord. So I'm there that morning. My sermon was intact. I knew where we were going. I knew the point we were wanting to communicate, and God spoke something into my spirit. And a few days later, a person stopped by and said, wow, that final point that you made on Sunday was phenomenal. It was impactful. And I said, okay, I remember the message on Sunday. What was the final point? Because that wasn't in my notes, and they started describing it. I was like, oh, yes, I remember that. That's not going to be one of those things that I forget either, because it was a thus saith the Lord moment. It was a thus saith the Lord moment. And if you want to know what that word was, it was this. If you will open the door for fellowship with Jesus, he will open heavenly doors for you that will cause you to be able to see things that will impact your here and now because of what's going on around the throne room. I believe that the throne room of heaven is something that we really, really need to understand what is going on. It's not a museum. It's not something that moves at a snail's pace. I saw something on one of those electronic signs, I believe it was. And so if this fact is not accurate, it's just coming to me while I'm speaking. It said that a snail can sleep for over 3 years at a time. Now that's a snail's pace. Okay. That's not what's going on around the throne room of heaven. There is dynamic worship, heavenly worship that is going on, and there's activity around. There are angels going and coming, declaring a thus saith the Lord. An angel is simply a messenger of the Lord. And so I want you to understand how important it is. Teaching is absolutely important, but also the role of the preacher, the role of the prophet, that says, thus saith the Lord, and invites people to come back into relationship with God, is absolutely important as well. The evidence in America is we need more thus saith the Lord. We need more prophetic anointings that are not people looking for a title or looking for a pat on the back or a pat on the head. Like a puppy. Instead, we're looking for people who will hear from God and say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus started going around. He taught inside the synagogues, and he preached throughout all Galilee, and he was preaching about the kingdom. Okay, the kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdoms of this world. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom, it is not about your agenda or your will. It is about God's will and God's agenda. The kingdom is not about amassing wealth for yourself. The kingdom business is the Father's business. It's about redeeming souls from the pits of hell. And I think it's good to be reminded from time to time that the people that Jesus was ministering to were living under one of the most oppressive governments in the world at that time. They weren't free to do whatever they wanted to do. A soldier walks up and says, you know what? I'm tired and I don't want to carry my gear. You're going to carry it with me. And so, you know, you would think that when Jesus comes along, he'd say, you don't have to carry it anymore. And he says, no, I want you to adopt the mindset of a servant. And if he asks you to carry it 1 mile, which was something he was entitled to do under Roman law, he said, go beyond that and carry it a second mile. Why? Because God, can you believe this? Jesus wanted to redeem Roman soldiers as well. Jesus had a heart for people beyond Jerusalem, beyond Galilee. He had a heart for people of Samaria. He had a heart for people in Syria. Damascus, Antioch, and Pisidia. He had a heart for the people of Rome. Thank God he had a heart for people in America, and people didn't even know where America was at the time. And so if you and I will realize the operations of God's kingdom, listen, a lot of times what happens in this world is the higher in rank you increase, the further from the front lines you get to be. But in God's kingdom, the further you advance in the kingdom, the closer to the front lines you want to be. I will never forget a song, and there, it's a line. Stephen Camp, I believe, is the one who wrote it, or Scott Camp, one of those names. And he made this thing, this statement. He said, "Some people want to live within the sound of chapel bells. I want to run a mission a yard from the gates of hell." And I'm pretty sure that he got that verbiage from some other author, at least in a similar form. But that's really, really the case. Jesus came and he started telling everybody, he said, "You know what? I've come to give my life." And let me just share one more thing. There's a passage, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" And everybody says, "Well, God is for me." Yes, but that doesn't mean that he is supportive of you on your journey. If your journey is headed for death and destruction, you need to understand that God gives grace to, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means he's literally standing in the way. Not because he hates you, it's because he loves you. And he says, "I want you to know you're on your way to hell, and I've made a way of escape," and that's great news. And the only way that you are going to successfully complete this journey of destruction is over my dead body. And I am so thankful that he is a resurrected Savior to say, "Look, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave." No matter what you're going through right now, allow the Word of God to teach you. But also, let's have an ear to hear from God, a "Thus saith the Lord." The Bible is filled with "Thus saith the Lord," and Jesus never changes. He's still speaking today. He's still speaking to America. Let's have churches that want to hear "Thus saith the Lord." See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."